We'll go ahead and call the McLean County Board to order, please. We'll go ahead and call the McLean County Board to order. Invocation by Member Bostic, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance. Clerk, please call the roll.
Selzer.
Here.
Sweeney. Ahart.
Present.
Baggett.
Here.
Bostic.
Here.
Butler.
Here.
Casely.
Here.
Cavallini.
Here.
Clark.
Here.
Dean. Gordon.
Here.
Harding.
Here.
Hasselton.
Here.
Moss. Knuckles.
Here.
Owens.
Present.
Rakowskis.
Here.
Renner.
Here.
Segabiano.
Here.
Sorensen.
Here. 18 members present. We have a quorum. There are no requests from members of the public to speak. We have the consent agenda. Are there any items to be removed from the consent agenda? Member Bostic.
Mr. Chairman, I would like item E2A pulled off the consent agenda and put under the property committee. Minutes.
Thank you. Are there any other items to be pulled from the consent agenda? None heard. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda? Motion Owens, second Casely. Questions, comments, or discussion? None heard. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you. Under the executive committee, item 7A1A is a declaration of a vacancy in County Board District Number 3. I think it goes without saying that we're all going to miss Mike Sweeney from this board. He has certainly been a mentor to many of us, and we appreciate the time that he served. With that, I'll announce the timeline for replacing him on the board. Applications and letters of interest are due to the administrator's office by noon on July 3rd. Folks who have expressed an interest will be invited to address the executive committee on July 8th at 4:30 p.m. And I'll make my recommendation to this board on July 22nd at our regular meeting. Just a reminder, because of the timing of this, the appointment will have to be a Republican. However, there will be a special election, and this seat will be up in November, and either party or both parties can slate candidates to it. Actually, either, both, any, I guess now, right? All right, executive committee.
Mr. Chairman, do you want a motion on that to accept the declaration of vacancy, or it's on the action item? I just didn't know if we need to.
We don't need it. It's just a declaration.
Thank you. The next item we bring is request for approval of a resolution of the McLean County Board approving and adopting the 2008 legislative subcommittee recommendation to oppose infringement of citizens' rights conferred by the Second Amendment, and I would move it.
We have a motion, Selzer, second, Bostic. Question, comments, and discussion? Member Segobiano.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know this situation has received a lot of conversation. They were able to present their case twice before the subcommittee, came before the exec committee, and I was one that made the recommendation that come to the full board without discussion and recommendation. I did that for a reason, and I think that this is a matter that concerns each and every one of us in an awful lot of fields. And during the executive committee discussion, Mr. Gordon brought up, not only the executive committee, but as well as in the subcommittee, which I think is very pertinent to the well-being of this country, this state, and this county. And I think the Supreme Court will render a decision that will probably put us all at ease. There are several factors that will weigh on my vote today. And the most recent one was that I had an opportunity to visit with the superintendent of schools in Rockford, Illinois. A couple of amazing statistics. One was that she stated that their crime rate in Rockford was higher than that of the city of Chicago. And also that this school year they had confiscated the 46 guns and knives in that school. And we read every day about assault weapons and what the devastation they can cause. And I know many in this room, you have children or grandchildren that attend schools. And every now and then we pick up the paper, we see on television news where there's been an assault on students or shopping malls and what have you. And any of us in this room who's ever served in the military, man, woman, you know, we were taught to hire different firearms, particularly semi-automatic weapons. They were designed for one reason, and we all know what we were trained to do, kill people. And you hear the old argument, you know, that people kill people, guns don't. Well, not many of them are being beat to death with sticks and stones this day and age. I think I'm going to yield to Mr. Gordon and have him read what he has to say in regards to the Second Amendment, and I hope we would support him. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Member Gordon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Segoviano. My concerns are recounted in the minutes of the legislative subcommittee, which is the minutes are part of our packet. I have a number of concerns, not least of which is that we may be taking action in advance of an authoritative decision by the U.S. Supreme Court. The Supreme Court historically, and many of us know this, the Supreme Court historically has rarely ruled directly on the implications or even the literal meaning of the Second Amendment and the applicability of the Second Amendment. There is debate about that meaning, whether or not the emphasis is on a well-regulated militia, and what exactly the phrase means, the right of the people to keep and bear arms. I'm not prepared to go into that particular line of argument today. The main concern that I have this morning is that since the Supreme Court rarely rules on the meaning of the Second Amendment, and it is apparent that it could well be about to do that, in the case of the District of Columbia against Heller, a challenge to the D.C., the District of Columbia total handgun ownership ban within the boundaries of the District of Columbia. We don't know what the Supreme Court's going to say. We don't know what the legal ground will look like following that Supreme Court ruling, which is expected before the end of its current term, the so-called June term, because that's the month when it ends. I would suggest that we would be wise to wait on the Supreme Court ruling, which may, in fact, make our deliberations either moot or unnecessary. This is a resolution that came to us. It is an effort to secure the support. It's part of an effort to secure the support of counties across the state of Illinois, more than 80 of which, I gather, have, and we have the list in front of us, of the counties that have acted, passing or failing or stopping it in committee. It's by way of urging the state legislature to take certain general actions. The state legislature may know its boundaries, and we may know its boundaries after the Supreme Court ruling. I am simply suggesting that we probably would do well either to wait, or if we are not prepared to wait, to consider what else we may want to do. I came in this morning prepared to make a motion to postpone further consideration until after that Supreme Court ruling. I'm certainly willing, I'm more than willing, I'm eager to hear further discussion before making that motion. I'd like to know what other members of the board think, but I am perfectly willing, and I just have, to signal my intent.
Member Selzer, I'm sorry.
Mr. Chairman, you know, a lot of people mistake us for each other, so. that's a good thing. yeah. You know, I don't disagree with what Member Gordon said at all. You know, my My concern, I think, is that we need to make sure that this debate, I mean, when it comes to this matter at hand, our voice is heard through our local officials, our federal officials, our congressmen and our senators. And I think that we should, as individual citizens, feel how we should do that. I believe that a county board has, and we've talked about this before, we've got five obligations from vital records, roads, tax collection, court system, and public health. This isn't one of them. I don't think it's the job of a county board to interpret or take a side on a constitutional issue. This resolution is asking us to say that we believe that the framers wrote the Constitution to give everybody the right to keep and bear arms at all times, at all, ad infinitum, versus looking back, if you read the history of what they meant by a well-regulated civilian militia. And that's not our debate. I just don't think we have a skin in the game, and therefore, if it goes any further today, I'd have to vote no against it, because I just don't feel it falls under our purview at all.
Member Renner.
My understanding of what we have here is largely a symbolic act, and one of the concerns that I've had, frankly, as a political scientist for many years, is that we spend a lot of time debating guns and an issue, and some of the ways that Member Segoviano has mentioned are certainly appropriate. But the core of the Second Amendment is here. It's with us. It's part of our Bill of Rights. And so I would speak in favor of the original motion, primarily because I think we're really just reaffirming the Second Amendment. We're not about to repeal it. And any interpretation of that seems to me to be subsequent to whether or not the Second Amendment exists. Certainly, there's no right that is absolute. Freedom of speech. We don't have the right to yell fire in a crowded theater. We have the right to freedom to exercise of religion, but the Supreme Court made it clear very early on in a polygamy case involving Mormons in 1879 that there are no rights that are absolute, including the free exercise of religion. So as long as we're not talking about cop killer armor-piercing bullets, whatever, we're talking about the Second Amendment, I don't see any reason why we can't just approve it, leave the interpretation of this to the Supreme Court.
Member Hostleton.
I haven't been surprised yet. Have I, George Paul?
Now that we're equal, 3-1, 3-2.
3-1 is equal?
Well, if you're the one, I am the one.
I'll point out that Member Hostleton is from Chenoa.
That's where men are men and the women are glad of it, if you don't know. Terry makes a good point. Everybody wants to take it a step farther. All we're trying to do is to show our support for this resolution. No big deal. As far as Rockford, Illinois has got some of the toughest gun laws in the United States. Let's enforce them. FOID cards. My Irish bride has one because sometimes she gets in a car that's got shotgun shells in the trunk. I don't want her to be, in violation of it. I mean, she's got enough speeding tickets. I can't do anything about that. But, gentlemen, we have made a big issue out of saying yes. George's hypothesizing the Supreme Court making a great big decision about Washington, D.C. And that proves the point. Washington, D.C. you can't have a gun. And those guys don't know. They got a season 12 months out of a year there shooting one another. But I just don't understand our overreaction to this. I really don't. And of course, I'm a hunter, and actively involved in that with my sons. But if we enforce the laws we got, we wouldn't have a problem. And I'm urging everybody to think about this and vote yes. Thank you.
Other questions, comments, or discussion? Member Rakowskis.
I guess I'd like to ask, when you say we need to enforce the laws we've got, I don't think this is what this is about. That it's not about enforcing the laws on the books now. And it kind of takes me back to the days of the smoking ban, when we spent an enormous amount of money, time, and energy, and I back then commented, why don't we wait for the state? You have to kind of be patient with democracy and the process. And it is going before the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court does rule on constitutional matters. We don't. So I don't understand where the recommendation fits in and how that fits into when you talk about enforcement of the law at this point. So maybe if I'm misunderstanding something, let me know. Secondly, I don't think the general public knew this was even coming up on a county level. And the reason being is, I don't know how others, their email or phones or anything, but I've had no contact from my constituents other than, you know, you hear from the certain special interest groups their stance on this. I don't think the public knows. And if we are elected to represent our constituents in our districts, if they're not even coming to us, we know then that they're not being informed. It's not what my personal opinion is. I represent my constituents, and I'm not sure if I'm ready today to say this is how my constituents feel, because I don't think it's been informed. I don't think we have given enough public notification considering this very important issue. It's one of our greatest freedoms. Therefore, I think we should wait and postpone it until the Supreme Court makes a ruling, or we're going to end up just like we do with the smoking ban.
Other member Owens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I look at it from what we're going to be doing today is that no matter how we vote or how we feel about the Second Amendment, each and every one of us has already actually dealt with this issue. When we stand here and get sworn in, what does it say? It says we will uphold the Constitution of the United States and State of Illinois. Basically, this is just reaffirming. We've already affirmed when we took office that we support the Second, you know, we'll uphold the Constitution. Second Amendment's part of the Constitution. Again, that I agree that you know, the courts, that's the one, they're the ones that are going to have to look at this and interpret, and that's their job. So I have no problem with going forward and continuing to vote in favor of this. Although people have asked, well, why are we taking this up? In a way, we've already dealt with this when we were sworn in to uphold the Constitution, not to read into it or to make our interpretation, or if we agree with certain parts or disagree. That's moot. Basically, we've already said we support the Constitution when we took office. But again, we have heard from some people that wanted us to talk about this issue, and that's why it's coming before us. So I have no problem with supporting this, because in a way, again, we've already said we support the Constitution when we took office.
Member Bostic.
I sit in a different position than Betty does. I guess I feel like I am a vested citizen of the United States, and I would much rather make my opinion well known and turn to the Supreme Court and say, I and the citizens of McLean County support the Second Amendment. Take it for what it's worth when you sit down and rule on your Washington, D.C. case. I think we should be the impetus to support it rather than wait for a learned body to pass down an edict to us.
Member Selzer.
Mr. Chairman, I just feel like after this discussion, I want to clarify something I said so there's no question. I do support and will 100% support a resolution that, in fact, supports the Second Amendment. But make sure that everybody is very clear of what you're voting for. Get past all the whereases to what we're resolving. Be it resolved that the McLean County Board opposes any legislation that unreasonably infringes on the rights of people to keep and bear arms. So if you have an ordinance in your community that says your handgun should be locked up for the safety of the kids, and there's a group that says they think that's an unreasonable request because if you need to get to your gun quickly, you want to be able to, it is going to be on record that the McLean County Board opposes legislation that, in fact, because who defines unreasonably? I would absolutely support this resolution if it was changed to say, be it resolved that the McLean County Board continues to give its full, unwavering support of our Second Amendment. But that's not what we're voting on here. We're being asked to vote on an opposition to any legislation that unreasonably, and I don't know how you define that, infringes upon the rights of people to bear arms. I grew up in Morton Grove, Illinois, where we had a handgun ban that went to the Supreme Court and withstood the test. I didn't particularly like that, but it's the way things go. So, I mean, if we're going to vote to support the Second Amendment, then let's have a substitute motion that changes that, and let's support the Second Amendment. If we're going to vote to oppose legislation that infringes whoever defines that, then I have to vote against it.
Gordon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Member Selzer just brought up something that I was going to mention in terms of the meaning of unreasonably. Many laws, many resolutions, the Constitution itself is made up of language that is either so specific that it can't be adapted, or it must be of necessity fairly vague, fairly general. The Legislative Subcommittee had a resolution brought to it, a language of the resolution brought to it by staff, originally that said that had this be it resolved, read as follows, be it resolved that the McLean County Board opposes any legislation that a court of competent jurisdiction finds to be in violation of the Second Amendment. That was amended in Legislative Subcommittee to delete the reference to the judiciary. We may have deleted explicit reference to the courts, but the point raised by Member Selzer brings the opportunity for me to point out, and I'm sure that Member Selzer would agree, the vagueness of unreasonably necessarily will bring in the need for later interpretation, and that's probably going to be done by the courts. My point is right now that the Supreme Court may make a decision that has broad applicability. The court has its within its authority. Anytime it gets a case that involves a constitutional provision, the court has within its discretion the ability, the authority to make a sweeping decision. It also has within its authority the discretion to make a decision that applies only to the District of Columbia gun ban, which, by the way, bans handgun ownership within the district, but not the ownership of rifles and shotguns. And we don't know which way the court's going to go. First of all, we don't know what the majority is going to say. Secondly, we don't know what the general or narrow applicability will be. If we're going to make a recommendation that has us standing on legal ground, which is what we're really being asked to do here, even though it's only a recommendation and even though it is symbolic, I think we ought to be sure what our legal ground is before we go standing on it. And that seems to me then to call for a postponement. And at this time, Mr. Chairman, with your indulgence, and I don't want to cut off anybody any other discussion. If there is other discussion, I will wait.
I have at least two, three speakers on
the list. I will wait. Thank you.
Member Segubiano.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to go back to what Mrs. Rakowska stated, you know, that I'd like to know how many here had an outpouring from their constituents in support of this amendment. You know, I was told at Menards, in fact, that by a gentleman who said he would have someone in my district call me, and he did, and it was the only call I ever got. One person called me because I was forewarned that they would instruct him to call me, but I've had no outpouring, you know, in regards to support for this. And we talk about causes, you know, and thank God we don't live in the state of California, you know, because they have causes every week out there. And we see causes here all the time. In fact, we just heard about, the smoking ban, and the state finally ruled on that. We have seatbelt laws, you know, that was proposed and passed, and I support that one. But, you know, it's baby restraining seats. There's all kind of causes out there. And today we sit here and we talk about the Second Amendment to the Constitution, and it was stated that we support, you know, the Second Amendment. We took our oath of office. Well, here we are nitpicking the Constitution of the United States. We're talking about the Second Amendment rather than the full Constitution of the United States. Do we just support part of it and reject other parts? Or are we Americans who support the entire Constitution of the United States, you know. And I think, you know, when we talk about a trained militia, we have a very well-trained militia in this country. It's called the National Guard. And they're called out to protect us in a time of need, a time of disaster. In fact, they're called even beyond these shores to protect the interests of the United States of America. So we have a well-trained militia in this country that is designed to train, protect, and secure our rights, which includes the entire Constitution of the United States. And my final remark, Mr. Chairman, is I will not support this because at no time will I ever have on my conscience that in the slightest way I supported individuals to carry guns that may endanger the life of my children or my grandchildren. I will have no part of whatsoever. I will fully support our military and our National Guard. And I think that's a well-trained militia that we need to support, and we need to support the full Constitution of the United States and not nitpick it.
Thank you. Member Cavallini.
I had the opportunity to talk to my son a week or so ago, who, although lives in Michigan, has some property west of Colfax, about 20 acres of ground, and we've joked that right now he's got probably a deer stand on about every acre. It's very well covered. And I asked him if he would just read this resolution for me. I have also only received one email from a constituent in my area in support of the resolution, so there obviously has not been very much discussion. But Keith read the resolution, and he was going through. It was fairly quiet for a while, and then I heard a little snicker and then a little laughter. I said, "Keith, what's so funny?" He said, "Dad," he said, "this is a great example of feel-good legislation. You can't go wrong if you support it, but what's it really saying?" And so I can say that although I don't have any firearms or compound bows, there are people who do and feel that, you know, supporting this would be a step in the right direction. I could support this as it's written. On the same token, I don't know if we're jumping the gun by supporting it now or if we wait and support it after the Supreme Court rules.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Perhaps it's because I'm from a more rural area, but I believe that the people out there that I represent, and I have heard from them, that they support this resolution. They respect and understand guns better than the average American citizen, I believe. And I think that I go back to be it resolved. We oppose any legislation that unreasonably infringes on the rights. And I think that this is a really nice compromise that the legislative subcommittee, which I said in all the hearings, all the committee meetings where we dealt with this issue, I think it's a really good compromise of, and it says what we wanted to say. So I would support it.
Yeah, the reason Rick gets so many phone calls is because I tell everyone who calls me to call him. Member Moss?
A comment and a question in response to something Member Sigabiano just said. I have not received any calls or mail or emails about this issue, not one. My question goes, I need a little history lesson, I guess, since we're talking about the Constitution. I need somebody to tell me, and I've looked through the minutes of the committee meetings, and I don't find it, and I apologize if it's in there, but I don't see any reference to why this resolution is coming around at this time. This is an issue that prompts resolutions that come around every so often, and it's happened over decades or even centuries that this kind of issue prompts this kind of response. I need somebody to tell me why this resolution has come up at this point, and why it has spread around the state of Illinois like it has to the various county boards. Without that kind of history, this resolution process carries no more weight with me than any previous resolution process on this topic or any other.
Yeah, I can share a little. I think it was predicated on a kind of a rash of bill introductions in the state legislature, in the Illinois state legislature, I think last session and then again this session. Some of those bills still exist and are in process today, and some of them are not. But I think that's what prompted kind of the effort within the state of Illinois to ask county boards like us to take up the topic. if that's helpful. I will tell you, in terms of our county board, several members of this board did receive emails actually over the last 6 or 8 months, and I actually counseled both the people that were communicating with me and suggested that the appropriate place for this to go would be through the legislative committee, and I asked Chairman Knuckles to kind of take that issue as kind of public input and deal with it in committee. Member Hosselton.
I guess everybody must have been sending me their letters and phone calls in regard to this, because I have, I don't know how many. I've learned, got a lot of new friends. They must be there, so much mail comes in. But I guess I assume that everybody was getting the input to the, I don't, maybe not that I get, but people have no problem leaving their names and their ideas and their position on any policy we bring up in the county. That's a plus for me, out living out in the rural McLean County. I do know, as Rick says, most of the people in my district, which goes from Woodford County to Ford and from Livingston County to Route 9, one of the biggest square mile areas in the county, and it's all rural. It's all rural. So I don't hear any input like Betty Wood or George Wood or Paul. Everybody's got an opinion, and they aren't afraid to nail me with it, irregardless where I'm at. My reaction is the input I get. It is. I feel the same way that we should endorse it, but it's easy to, because this is the environment that I live in. And if you're not there, I can understand your position. But think about the vast majority of the people involved in this recreation. And the bad guys don't care if we vote yes or no, because they're going to get guns anyway. And I just think that would be wise that we show our support. We're the largest county in the state. We can come up with all kinds of little ideas why I'm going to vote no, but the real thing is I don't want to lose it. Thank you.
Other questions, comments, or discussion? Member Knuckles.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I will concur with you. I did receive a lot of, well, not a lot, but a significant amount of emails, primarily in support of this resolution. I must note, and I think many of you are aware of this, this resolution has been modified from the original resolution that was brought forward to us a couple of months ago. Now I'm hearing at least from one or two that the concern is the word unreasonably. And Member Seltzer indicated that a substitute motion could be possible, although I haven't heard anybody act on that. But now I guess I'm somewhat confused that if we remove that word, at least change that word unreasonably, would there be some support to pass this resolution? I'm not sure. I've only had one or two comments on that word, unreasonably. But I must note that it has been modified from the original version that was brought forward to us.
Well, there's one way to find out. You could offer to amend it.
I could.
Member Koskis?
That brings up an interesting point, is if we have the ability to amend a resolution, and I'm looking at this for the first time, this report given to us from Illinois Pro 2A events, is it the same resolution that all these people have passed, or have they amended their resolutions? I think that's, and this is what's difficult, is when we get this information on the same day, we don't have time to evaluate it and scrutinize it. And I never take anything that's put on my desk as gospel. I try to research it and see the validity of anything. So I would like to, that would be one question, is are we talking or are we comparing apples to apples or not? Has everyone passed the same language resolution? That is very, very important.
There's no... there's a, as I understand it, probably about 60 of those are all the same version. The other 20 or so have had amendments by the county boards. They're not all exactly the same in terms of the wording, although I think the spirit and intent in support of the Second Amendment is consistent. Member Salzer.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to make a motion and propose a substitute motion that would...
Hold on, give us a second. We're okay. All going to have to get to the right pages so we can
page
mark it up.
Page 60 of the packet.
All right, go ahead.
And after it says, be it resolved by the McLean County Board, I would strike the rest, so the third of the last paragraph. Be it resolved by that the McLean County Board fully supports the Second Amendment of the United States of the United States Constitution and the entire Constitution of the United States of America.
I would second that.
All right, we have a motion and a second on an amendment, but we want to make sure we've got it straight.
Sure. And if there's some cleanup language, tell me, because...
All right, so it's the first, be it resolved.
Right.
You want to say it again one more time?
Be it resolved that the McLean County Board fully supports the Second Amendment of the Constitution of the United States and the entire Constitution of the United States. And if you need to... fully supports the Second Amendment of the Constitution of the United States and reaffirms our support of the entire Constitution of the United States.
Is that wording appropriate for the second?
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
And I hope that gets to what we're after here, and that is to say that we support something rather than oppose something.
Chairman.
Member Koskis.
He's saying this is the third paragraph up, but then...
From the bottom, yeah.
The fourth paragraph from the bottom, whereas, it's contradictory then, because you're saying we support certain legislation, oppose certain legislation. it's very confusing. Do you see what I'm saying? How can you support and oppose?
Well, understand, Member Koskis, in the context of our entire legislative program, every single one of our legislative resolutions have that paragraph, simply to make it clear that we don't arbitrarily pick stuff that we're only going to support or only pick stuff that we're only... What we're acknowledging is that we engage on the topic of legislative issues, sometimes in favor and sometimes opposed. This happens to be one or the other.
But, okay.
I agree.
It's not about
the meaning of the resolution.
It's not about
strike.
This issue.
But
it's...
That's what I'm saying. Then I'm really even more confused is, why do I need to have a resolution saying I support the Constitution or any part of it? I don't understand.
Well, that went back to my original comment, but it's just a reaffirmation of our support. Because my concern is that from the discussion I've heard, we're all saying how we support the Second Amendment. Nobody questions that. But I am still concerned that the resolution we're passing is actually saying that we are in opposition to something. And we're in opposition to, according to the way the current resolution is written, unreasonable infringements on those rights, and no definition of what that is. So I'm just trying to say we can, as a political body, continue to support the Second Amendment and make no question that we support the Second Amendment. But I don't think it's our place to interpret and decide. Because I do agree with Member Segoviano 100%. I could not look anybody in the face who comes up to me and says, you know, thanks for your support of that right for that, you know, that criminal that, you know, go out and have this semi-automatic submachine gun and go shoot people. And, you know, look at Northern Illinois. Those guns were purchased legally.
All right. Member Gordon.
Mr. Chairman, I have, I guess I have one immediate thought, and it matches what Member Rakowskis just asked. Why do we need a resolution stating something that we support the Constitution, that we reaffirm? Member Owens pointed out earlier that we have done that already de facto and de jure in point of fact and by law when we took our oath of office. We don't know what unreasonably means. Now we have before us a proposal to make the language even more general. May I propose a course of action, and this is going to be entirely up to Member Selzer and Member Knuckles, the mover and seconder of the substitute language. If they would be willing to withdraw this proposal, I'm willing at this point to propose that we postpone consideration of the whole matter to the first regularly scheduled meeting of the McLean County Board following the Supreme Court ruling in District of Columbia against Heller. But I don't think it's appropriate for me to make that postpone motion when there's an amendment pending.
Just so you're aware, a motion to table, which is what you're suggesting.
No, this is postponed.
A motion to postpone.
Postpone.
Will require a two-thirds vote of the board.
Postpone to a definite time?
To a definite, yeah.
Yes. It does require two-thirds majority.
It does, okay.
Mm-hmm. I'd be happy to withdraw my motion.
If the motion is withdrawn, I guess I'll have to withdraw my second as well. But having said that, are we certain that that will go in front of the Supreme Court in June? Is there a possibility that might be being continued or
similar to? I can't put the degree of certainty in the same category as death and taxes, but it's close.
But
the Supreme Court heard oral arguments on in this case of the District of Columbia against Heller on March 18th of this year. There is every indication that the Supreme Court is going to hand down a ruling of some type, and again, we don't know what it's going to be, and that's my point, before it adjourns for the summer. The June term is called that because it ends in June, and there is every indication that the Supreme Court will make a ruling on this matter. I would suggest that we wait to see what that ruling is and therefore know better what our legal context is. That's my point.
I have been cautious to respect the position of the chair and not provide comment and input on context. I will, just so everyone is aware, I live in the same neck of the woods as Stan and Rick and Diane, and my constituents have been quite loud and quite clear in terms of their desire to see the McLean County Board verbally and openly and publicly support the premises of the Second Amendment unchanged. So I just wanted to get that on the table so everybody understands. Okay, we have a motion to postpone without a second.
Second.
We'll move.
We have a second. Segoviano on a motion to postpone. State's attorney, is that debatable?
Yeah.
Okay, motion to postpone is debatable. Member Hosselton.
I only got a little short, stupid question. George, are you going to wait until after the November election to vote on the president?
What? That's the same thing.
No.
That you mean?
I'm not going to wait till after the
election. Wait. We.
I'm messing with him. I can do that because we're friends, but we don't always agree. But why don't I don't understand? It's almost like people are fearful of making a decision, showing to the federal government, Supreme Court, rural Illinois supports the Second Amendment. And that's what we're asking. Right here, this is an excellent example of we country boys being outnumbered by the city folks who don't know where Sabina is, Coval, Elliott. You learned where it's at because I quizzed you before now. But I mean, this is a—it's a different lifestyle. Agree? And I just don't understand the fact that we aren't going to make the decision. We're literally showing our support. It's like putting a yard sign out.
Thank you. I've got Segoviano, Rakoskis, any other speakers waiting? Owens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Here we are in 11th hour debating this issue, which has had plenty of discussion twice in subcommittee. And when it came to the exec committee, as I mentioned earlier, sent it here for discussion. And we've had discussion on the main issue. And now we're asking to, and I appreciate you withdrawing the motion, because here we were being asked at the 11th hour to change the meaning of a resolution that has been presented and discussed. And now, whether it's mind-boggling or not, you know, vote on it right now. And that's wrong. And the second issue that seems to be creeping in here, you know, and I was an avid hunter myself, but I lived in town. And it seemed like only the rural people, in all due respect, you know, are the only ones that go hunting and fishing. People in Blenheim and Bloomington normal hunt and fish, as well as the people in the rural area. And we represent just as many people. Every district has an equal amount of representation. And Bloomington Normal certainly has their numbers of hunters and fishermen and bow shooters, you know. So we're not segregating anybody in regards to our decision. And I think Mr. Gordon is absolutely right. You know, we're not going to tear the Constitution apart. We're going to hear what the Supreme Court has to say, and that gives us a better opportunity to go out before our constituents and say, this is the law of the land, and this is what we need to follow. And I think with there again, we can be justified when we send our kids off to school or off to our wives off to the shopping mall. What? And
I have a Rakoskis request to speak.
Mr. Hoslin, you're absolutely right. I think it is a very big issue with the rural people. But I don't think urban people are ignorant of the need for guns, like Mr. Segubiano says. I'll put my fishing skills and hunting skills against yours any day, and I don't live out rural. And I do know where the rural cities are. So I don't think we're ignorant. Yes, we may not get to take advantage of it as much as the rural people, and we're not ignorant of their needs, and they are more, they have been more vocal about it. I am saying I'd like to hear from the urban constituents to make sure I am representing them, because it isn't my personal opinion and my, what my personal hobbies are, et cetera. I do represent the constituents. I'm not even asking or saying I'm for or against this. I am saying, can we please postpone it? Therefore, I'm not saying yay or nay. I'm just asking for postponement, and I don't think that would hurt.
Member Bostic.
I would be curious as to what the board's take would be if we were asked to support a resolution confirming our right conferred under the 15th Amendment and the 19th Amendment.
Mr. Chairman, I think everybody would vote for it, and I just want to restate what I said, is when I vote no against this resolution, I'm going to be pegged as somebody who's against the Second Amendment, and that is not what this resolution is saying. If you ask me to reaffirm any part of our Constitution, I will lead the parade, but I will not lead the parade that opposes certain language based on interpretations of others. And I just, that's why I made that substitute motion, because I want it as clear as crystal that I fully support the rights bestowed upon all Americans in the Second Amendment. I do not support us saying that we oppose legislation that we don't even know if it exists, that unreasonably infringes, which could save a kid's life at some point. I think legislation, and the Supreme Court ruled in the 30s that there was rights to go ahead and oppose certain parts of gun ownership, control, all of that's been reaffirmed. That is not what this resolution, it's not asking me to reaffirm my belief in the Second Amendment. That's the only reason I've opposed it. It's not that I oppose the Second Amendment. Does anybody in the room, anyone think I oppose the Second Amendment? Because if I need to talk more, I will, or I'll shut up. But I do not oppose the Second Amendment. Thank you.
Hey, Member Owens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think we've had a wonderful discussion. I don't think anyone's pretty much going to change minds, so therefore I call the question.
I had one question before we call the question.
All right. He's, just so you know, actually, it's an undebatable. I'm sorry. It is a request to call the question on the motion to postpone, not on the main motion. So a yes vote is point of order.
Point of order. Calling the question is simply another way of saying I'd like to vote. It's not a formal motion to close debate. That's separate. If that's what he means, then
move to call the question, Mr. Owens. Motion to call the question. Second, Bostic and Segubiano. And on the, yes. So there's a motion to call the question on the motion to postpone.
Who was second?
The second was Segubiano and Bostic and everybody else who's ready to be done with this, right? Okay, so we have a motion to call the question. I'm going to take it by voice vote. Is a yes vote is we're going to vote on Mr. Gordon's motion to postpone, and no vote is we're going to go back to debate Mr. Gordon's motion to postpone. Everybody understand? A yes vote is going to end debate on the motion to postpone. Then we'll vote on that. Right? All right. Majority vote needed on a motion to call the question. All those in favor of calling the question on the motion to postpone, please signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Opposed, same sign. Okay. I was going to get enough yes votes one way or the other on that one. All right, so we have ended debate on the motion to postpone. We will now call the motion to postpone. Please restate the motion as presented.
My motion was intended to read as follows. I move to postpone further consideration of the resolution as presented to the first regularly scheduled meeting of the McLean County Board following the U.S. Supreme Court ruling in the case of District of Columbia against Heller.
Eric, is that in order as far as you're concerned?
Yes.
All right, motion is in order. We have an original motion with a second Segubiano to postpone. As stated, a yes vote, this board will postpone the original underlying resolution in motion until the time point stated. A no vote returns us to the original discussion on the original underlying motion. This motion requires a two-thirds to pass. Requires 13 votes to pass.
Question? Are we going to do voice vote on the roll call vote on this?
I think roll call is inevitable because we're going to have to count noses. So, clerk, please call the roll.
Selzer?
Yes.
Sweeney is absent. Ahart?
Yes.
Baggett?
No.
Bostic?
No.
Butler?
Yes.
Kaisley?
No.
Cavallini?
Yes.
Clark?
No.
Dean?
No.
Gordon?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Hasselton?
No.
Moss?
Yes.
Knuckles?
No.
Owens?
No.
Rakowskis?
Yes.
Renner?
No.
Segubiano?
Yes.
Are you voting, Chairman?
Doesn't matter. Motion fails. We are returned to the original resolution as presented by the Legislative Committee to the floor. Is there other discussion? Member Gordon.
Mr. Chairman, the motion to postpone is now history. If the Supreme Court were to rule, and I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to say this earlier, if the Supreme Court were to rule in District of Columbia against Heller that a total ban, a municipal ban on handgun ownership violates the Second Amendment, that might dilute the interest on the part of those who called upon us to pass this resolution to have us do so. Because if the Supreme Court makes such a ruling, then no state and no municipality can pass a total handgun ban. And I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to say that earlier. I'm not certain it would have changed any votes on the motion to postpone. I'm going to oppose the resolution because I think the meaning of the Second Amendment, the meaning of the word unreasonably, and in my view, the meaning of the phrase, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, needs to be further defined by the authoritative institutions of this land, and that means, in my view, the Supreme Court. And I don't want to vote yes for this until I know really what the meaning is, and I'm sticking with that position, so I'm going to have to oppose it.
Member Renner.
Just, I think no matter what we do, whether it's before or after the Supreme Court's decision, the devil's always in the details. At this point, we're really only talking about something that's symbolic and in concept. And I don't think that's going to change whether we're voting on this now or whether we vote on this in June. Again, as I see the entire discussion is clearly it's symbolic. It's always going to be subject to whatever the Supreme Court decides at some point in the future. I mean, whether we take unreasonable out or whether we keep unreasonable in. So that's why I think we support the Second Amendment. Again, let's say that we support the Second Amendment and move on.
Member Knuckles.
I will concur with Member Renner. And I know there was earlier discussion about rural areas versus urban areas, and as chair of the Legislative Committee, receiving probably the majority, of, besides yourself, Mr. Chairman, of the emails.
I told them to call you.
Yeah, thanks. I will say, although the majority of them were from rural areas, there were a lot of, or a significant amount of comments from, or positive comments in probably in favor of, from some of the urban areas as well, including my 10th district, which is on the far east side of Bloomington. So just to make that point. Thank you.
Okay. Other questions, comments, and discussion? Member Segoviano.
Well, I just want to go back to what Mr. Salzer said a minute ago. I'm going to vote against the resolution, but no one in this room can tell me that I do not support the entire Constitution of the United States, and particularly the Second Amendment.
All right. Other questions, comments, or discussion? Member Rakoskis.
I, too, would like to go on the record that I will not be voting for this, but not because I do not support the Second Amendment or our Constitution.
Other questions, comments, or discussion? Any other no voters want to make that clear?
Well, no.
I don't. All right. With that, we'll call the question. I assume that we will require a roll. Clerk, please call the roll. Again, a yes vote supports the resolution as presented by the Legislative Committee. A no vote doesn't. This requires a majority vote to pass.
Salzer?
No.
Sweeney is not here. Ahart?
No.
Baggett?
Yes.
Bostic?
Yes.
Butler?
Yes.
Kaisley?
Yes.
Cavallini?
Yes.
Clark?
Yes.
Dean?
Yes.
Gordon?
No.
Harding?
No.
Hasselton?
Yes.
Moss? Knuckles?
Yes.
Owens?
Yes.
Rakoskis?
No.
Renner?
Yes.
Segoviano?
No.
Are you voting?
The chair is not required to vote, but I will for public record. I vote yes. Motion passes 12 to 7.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The second item.
Anything else from the executive committee?
The second item.
You've about used your nickel.
The board is a request for a resolution of the McLean County Board approving and adopting another recommendation from the legislative subcommittee, but this is to support full federal funding of veterans health care, and I will move it.
We have a motion, Salzer, second, Hasselton. Questions, comments, or discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Number seven,
even though I move this, I do want to, again, just go on record for something, and I guess it's one of those, as Mr. Renner said, it's a symbolic thing maybe people read it as, but, you know, I was in the military for 4 years, and when I signed up, no recruiter anywhere gave me a contract that promised me full federal health care. The origin of this resolution comes from a form letter sent by the Lieutenant Governor's office to every county board to try to get resolutions passed everywhere to get this full federal funding. And being in health care, I think we're opening a can of worms. I don't know what full federal funding means. I don't think I was entitled to it because I served my country. And I just oppose the idea that, again, we're going to symbolically say we should take care of our veterans. It's just a huge issue bigger than us. But
questions, comments, discussions?
Well,
Segoviano.
I would agree with Mr. Salzer, but we're both going to vote yes because it's symbolic.
Other questions, comments, or discussion on topic? Member Kaisley.
Yeah, we're asking somebody else to foot the bill. We're not going to step up and pay the bill for veterans' health care benefits for veterans in McLean County. We're saying, Congress, you do it. Well, maybe we ought not to be asking other people to step up and foot the bill.
Other questions, comments, or discussion? Member Cavallini.
I just have a question. I'm curious. I know that the legislative committee that we have here in the county does a lot of hard work and research and taking proposals to the State General Assembly. I'm curious as to how many outside groups come before this committee and make special presentations and then sort of as a little writer ask us to add to or complement what we've already taken down to Springfield. What is that process?
I'll share my perspective. It's an open process. Citizens of McLean County or interest groups that have specific legislative agendas are always welcome to visit with members of the county board. And if it's legislative in nature, I think it's pretty consistent that we're going to send them to visit with Mr. Knuckles. Mr. Butler.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to point out that whoever we're asking to pay for this, if it's the state, the federal government, whatever, it's the taxpayers eventually. And so wherever the money comes from, it's coming from us initially and getting filtered through the system and then back here. Now, in my opinion, whatever, I would say that a veteran who has been in combat and injured in combat probably deserves full federal health care. But if you've been stateside and flown a desk around, no, I don't think so.
Thank you. Other questions, comments, or discomfort? Member Rakowskis.
This is interesting. A lot of people know I am a military brat, so I'm very familiar with the military. I'm also in the medical profession, so I'm familiar with both sides. And I agree with Mr. Selzer. This is very loose wording, and it's not spelled out. I do not ever like to say I'm in agreement to something unless it's spelled out. I think it is very dangerous to do that. Mr. Butler is absolutely right. Every time the federal, state, or local says something, it's out of my back pocket. Doesn't matter what branch, it's still, we're paying for it. I'm not saying we don't pay veterans, that we don't respect veterans, but there's a lot of loopholes here. Are they injuries? Is it sickness? Is it things they've had when they were in the service? Is it for people who have been a veteran, only went in for 2 years and came out? As some people know, I had a son that went in, got cancer, came out, so the U.S. government, should they take care of him for the rest of his life because he was diagnosed with cancer while he was in training? You know, I'm not going to go along with this. I think we have to be very careful when we say, yes, we accommodate these resolutions.
Member Selzer.
And maybe considered symbolic, but one I feel compelled to ask the state's attorney, Mr. Rood. As a honorably discharged veteran, should I even be voting on something that could give me benefit? I'm just, you know, I'm asking a...
Member Casely.
In response to Mr. Cavallini's question, it's clear where this legislative initiative came from, and it came from Jerry Vogler, who is the director of our Veterans Assistance Administration.
Member Hosselton. Could you please turn on the microphone?
I just wonder if this is the new VA. I have a relative who played service football and broke his ankle, and he gets payments every month, and his brother, who was shot down in Korea and really suffered, was rejected. So I know which way I'm thinking about going.
Other questions, comments, or discussion on topic? None heard. Anybody want to call for a roll? Do we need it? We probably.
I'll call.
We've got a request for a roll. This is item 7A1C. A yes vote supports the resolution presented by the Legislative Committee, and no vote rejects the resolution as presented by the Legislative Committee. And I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Mr. Selzer?
Yes.
Mr. Sweeney is not here. Ahart?
Yes.
Baggett?
Yes.
Bostic?
Yes.
Butler?
No.
Kaysley?
No.
Cavallini?
Yes.
Clark?
Yes.
Dean?
Yes.
Gordon?
Yes.
Harding?
No.
Hasselton?
Yes.
Moss?
No.
Knuckles?
Yes.
Owens?
Yes.
Rakowskis?
No.
Renner?
Yes.
Segabiano?
I join with Mr. Seltzer, yes.
Let the record reflect chair votes yes. Motion passes 14-5. Are you almost done?
Almost with this one. The next item I bring proudly, as it is specifically one of the areas of government the county board has authority over. And that is a request approval of a resolution approving and adopting the subcommittee recommendations to include funding for local government road and bridge repairs in capital funding programs, and I would so move it.
We have a motion, Selzer, second, Harding. Questions, comments, or discussion? None heard. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Our general report's on page 65-78, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
If anyone dares to ask Vice Chairman Selzer questions. No. Very good. Property Committee, Chairman Bostic.
Thank you, Chairman. I had asked that item E2A come off of the consent agenda, and it was regarding the proposed lease with the coffee depot over in the Law and Justice Center. And I would like to recommend that come back to our committee as an action item for our June cycle. And that, do we need anything further on that?
Just a motion to refer
back to committee.
Okay, so there's a motion to refer. Motion Bostic, second. Dean. Questions, comments, or discussion on the motion to refer? All those in favor, please signify by, I'm sorry, Mr. Moss, do you have a question?
Why?
There may be a change of ownership, and we will have plenty of time to negotiate a lease with a new owner, so.
Okay. All those in favor of referral, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you.
Item B1A is a request approval of an ordinance adopting and enacting rules and regulations pertaining to the public use of all county parks and recreational areas and providing for the enforcement of said ordinance and the fixing of penalties for its violation through Parks and Recreation Department. And I so move.
We have a motion, Bostic, second, Cavallini. Questions, comments, or discussion? None heard. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
And my second item is B, request approval of a resolution approving and authorizing change order allowance for phase two restoration project of the old McLean County Courthouse through facilities management, and I so move.
We have a motion, Bostic, second, Ahart. Questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
And our general report appears on page 114 through 122. Thank you.
Are there any questions of the chairman, Mr. Selzer?
I have a question for Mrs. Bostic. Diane, just the work on the courthouse, when did they anticipate that's going to be done? It's a great project.
November, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. September 12th.
September 12th.
September 12th.
Better and better.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions for the property committee? Transportation Committee, Chairman Hasselton.
We have no items to present to the committee. Our general report can be found on pages 123 to 128. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Chairman Hasselton? It is with great reluctance that I invite Chairman Selzer of the Finance Committee back to the floor.
As it should be. the first item we bring before is a request approval of a resolution establishing the budget policy for fiscal year 2009, and I would move it and then would like to make a comment.
Motion, Selzer, second, Segabiano. Chairman Selzer.
Just on the bottom of page 133, if you didn't notice it in your packets, this is a change this year. As we know, the price of gas is $4 a gallon. As we know, housing's downturned, and there's some indicators with our tax revenues this year that we could be looking at some interesting times in the very near term. So we've added the provision in here to prepare for a potential reduction in the overall growth of county revenues as a result of national economic slowdown and recognizing the need to manage staffing level, the county administrator is hereby directed to evaluate all current full-time equivalent staffing levels in every county office department and recommend adjustments in those levels. The county administrator shall review compensation and associated cost of health care, et cetera. What this is doing is, for the first time in a long time, every department, when they submit their budget, is going to have to just re-justify. This is not a layoff. This is not an employment freeze. It is to say we're asking every department to take a serious look at what we do and how we do it and the staffing levels associated with it. So I think it's making all of us very fiscally responsible with what we have coming forward.
Other questions, Member Kaysler?
Yeah, I'm concerned about the burden that we're putting on the administrator's office to analyze these things with respect to each county department every year. That seems to me to be a little bit maybe extreme, and I wonder if maybe they ought not to evaluate each department every third year and take a third of them each year or something like that.
Well, every year the budget resolution changes. So that next year we'll have another resolution. So we've not done this in a while, and because of, you'll note in some of the revenues, the declining revenue, and I think it's something that they really do as a matter of course every year, and John, you're free to comment on that if you think it's too much work or whatever.
We look at staffing levels every year. We don't look just at the new positions. We look at the existing complement. Our view of what the executive committee is asking, and if the board approves this, what the board is asking is that it not only be a one-way street in terms of the administrator's office looking at it, but I think there's a subsequent paragraph where it's ask each county office and department to look at it, and I think it says shall review. So I think what we're going to be looking for is we're going to be looking for input from county offices and departments to take a serious look at what they're doing, to look at ways that they might be able to streamline. And again, this resolution not only recognizes the concerns that we have in terms of going forward, but I think it also provides an opportunity, again, depending on what action the board takes with this item that immediately follows, it provides an opportunity then to specifically look at those offices or departments where there may be vacancies that occur as a result of people taking advantage of the early retirement incentive program, if in fact that is approved this morning. And we've already had discussions, as I indicated during the Finance Committee's consideration of that item, we've already had discussions with several departments who've indicated that there are opportunities to restructure and there are opportunities to move staffing levels, change staffing levels, address some opportunities to bring technology into the office that maybe isn't there today.
Other discussion? None heard. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Passes.
Authorize the IMRF Early Retirement Incentive Program, and I would so move it.
We have a motion. Selzer, second. Owens. Questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
The next item is a request approval of an ordinance of the McLean County Board establishing the annual salary of the circuit clerk, coroner, auditor, and recorder, and I would move that.
We have a motion. Selzer, second. Renner. Questions, comments, or discussion?
Chairman Selzer. Just a comment. These are the countywide offices that are up for election, so we have to set those so the new office holder can have the change in pay. The other ones are not impacted, even though there's some recommendations in there. Those are 2 years out because we can't change their pay while they're in office. I would just like to make a comment for everybody who's here 2 years from now and be on the record with it. I did receive what I thought was a very gracious call by one of our countywide office holders to make sure that they understood that they were very pleased with the salary. There's no issues there. But also wanted to make an appeal. If you notice in that chart that's in there of all of the elected officials on page 156 and 157, you'll note that our sheriff is rated paid sixth compared to his peers when you look at peer groups. and this official called just to state that they really hoped that we'd give some consideration, and it wasn't the sheriff, by the way, it was one of his peers, to really take a serious look, because if you look at what the sheriff's job entails recently, it's considerable. So I just thought that was of note and something that'll be dealt with in 2 years. So,
great. Other discussion? None heard. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
The next item we bring is a request approval of an ordinance of the McLean County Board setting salaries of McLean County Board members, and I would so move it.
We have a motion, Salzer, second, Harding. Discussion? We can. Other comments? Hoselton?
I'm not for that. I think we should lead by example.
That damn thing. Never got used to it. I don't think anybody on the county board is here for the money. Maybe I'm disillusioned, but I don't think we ought to take a raise. If we want to set a good example to our constituents, who in many cases are having difficulty surviving in these slow times in various areas of their livelihood, I know personally, I won't accept a raise. And I hope everybody else does a little soul searching in regard to this. Thank you.
Member Knuckles.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would concur with Member Hoselton. I certainly agree with that. I will not be in support of any type of pay increase for the board members.
Member Bostic.
I think Stan said it all, and I think I'll join on him. We've got tough economic times, and I think we're adequately compensated right where we're at.
Member Selzer.
While I don't agree, or while I do agree with what has been said, I do want to remind this board, a couple years ago when I came on, about 6 years ago, the board moved its salary, if you want to call that, for the number of meetings, and some of us don't take reimbursement at all for mileage because it would be more than what we earn. So those are all worthy, symbolic things. But the headlines of the paper, just remember, county board votes itself 33% pay raise. And that's when we went from $2,000 to $3,000 a year. And it doesn't cover anybody's expenses. It doesn't come close to it. But the point is I don't disagree with what's said. I'm just saying we went to a 2.5%, well below what everybody else made on an annual basis, to just keep some parity. And I would absolutely support not voting for it, but just be prepared for what happens in the future when you put off being responsible for today.
All right, just as a matter of housekeeping, and so all the members are aware, half of the seats are up in 2008, the other half are not. We actually have existing county board action that gives that 2.5% increase annually to the 10 members who are not up for election through 2010. So to not pass or not amend this to only be a 2009-2010 resolution would in fact create disparity among our own members. So I'll just make everybody aware of that. Member Renner.
I wonder if I could go ahead and make the motion to make sure that there is parity and that we don't accept a salary increase across the board. And I know it's going to, perhaps we should call Ripley's. This is the second time I'm agreeing with Stan in a single meeting. But absolutely, I think, you know, we definitely need to set by example. There are, other jurisdictions that don't necessarily set that kind of example locally, I won't mention. And I think we need to make sure that we do that.
Let's
so
talk
I would
about
make that motion.
Well, I think we're going to have to be a little bit more technical than that. Are you saying that?
I'm offering a substitute motion to make sure that there is parity, that because as it stated, right? Only though, actually, I would happen to be in that group. I would get the raise because my seat is not up this year. Right.
The 10 members who are not up this year would see a 2.5% increase in 2009 and a 2.5% increase in 2010. And there's nothing that this board can do about that. That was done 2 years ago.
Oh, we can't do anything.
We can't do anything about that.
I thought you said
Illinois state law requires that we establish compensation prior to the election to a term.
Raise or lower our salaries.
Okay, well, then I'm sorry. I misunderstood what you said. I thought you said unless we do something about
Well, what I'm saying is to simply not pass this resolution that's presented today would create disparity.
Then so people would earn more.
Then, right. then you'd have half the members that would earn more than the other half of the members. So in order, basically, to establish parity, the resolution that's been the action that's being presented to you today has to be amended to basically just take 2010 and 2011 increases off. 11 and 12 11 increases 12. Off that resolution.
Okay. Then I would make that a motion.
But just to follow up on that, though, then that what that creates is in 2 years, if they decide to raise county board member salaries, those people that are reelected in this fall would not see that raise.
Unless we amend the action today to take the back 2 years off.
But if you take the back 2 years off, 2 years from now, you'll be forced into not being able to give a raise or
That's right.
those two people, those 2 years. So this is one of these where we need to do, you know. I'm sure, though, that there's some people that run foundations in the room who'd be happy to take the raises as a donation.
Member Gordon.
Mr. Chairman, am I correct that if, I don't, I'm, first of all, did Member Renner's motion to amend, was that clearly heard and understood?
Well, first of all, I think there is no motion to amend yet because it lacks clarity. So if we get to a point of clarity and we decide to get a motion on the floor, that's fine.
All right. The question that I have then is if we were to decide, capital I, if we were to decide to take off the increases that right now are proposed to take effect January 1 of 2011, 2012, if we take those off, am I correct that we would then have to wait at least 2 more years before we try to plug in any more 2.5% increases? Okay, let me ask that.
No. And let me ask that. Is 2010 an election where we all stand?
No, 2012.
2012 is where we all stand.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, following that then, following from that, could we... Would we then have to wait for 4 years from now to take action,
to keep parity?
Well, would the next time that we'd be able to establish parity be in time for any 2.5% increase to take effect January 1, 2013? All right. So that the cycle of following redistricting, following the 2010 census, the election would be November 2012, the seating of the new board, all 20, would be December, the first Monday in December 2012, and no salary increase that wouldn't create disparities could be passed to take effect before January 1, 2013. Thank
Correct.
You. I just wanted to clarify
Member
that.
Casely.
During the time that I was a circuit judge, we went for about 5 years, 6 years without a pay raise, and then we got a pay raise of $5,000 per year. The hue and cry over that pay raise was loud and vociferous, and it's much better to take a small pay raise periodically than to have a big jump at the end of a period of time when you have had no pay raises. And it is necessary that salaries remain on a parity with the general cost of living. And the cost of living last year was roughly 3.5%. So this is well under the 3.5%.
Member Segoviano.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to support the motion. I've been on the board for a number of years, and we went through a per diem per meeting, and, there was such a variation of scale that some people didn't attend as many meetings as some of us, and some of didn't attend as many meetings as others, and it was really a disparity. And the board finally made a decision to, you know, to make an issue that everybody was treated fairly for the position they held at the time spent on the board. And I think we have to realize that we are the largest geographical state in a county in the state of Illinois, and we have an awesome responsibility to McLean County. If you look at the businesses that are located here, the farm ground that we are here to protect, and we come together as an official elected body to do the will of the people. All too often, and just a moment ago, we voted to increase the salaries of incoming elected office holders. Why? They go to the same store we do. They buy the same loaf of bread that we do, purchase the milk off the shelves as we do. But we always have a comparison as to what their job calls for in adjacent counties or surrounding counties. And where is a comparison for what the county board members do? We do the elected officials. We extend our obligations to the people that elect us to serve them. I certainly have no objection to supporting this. You know, I'm certainly not going to get rich off of it. But I will add one comment. We have a nonprofit organization that serves, you know, low-income kids. So if any of you still want to take the raise, come out to Wiley Drive, 410 Wiley Drive, and bring me your check.
Member Koskis.
I think if you look at the makeup of the board, most of us are middle-aged or older. Quite a few are retired. There's also the makeup that some people here work for companies that pay them why they come here. I think that sometimes can be a disadvantage, because if you don't offer a decent salary for this position, you eliminate, I think, a lot of the younger people from getting involved in the county government, because they're not quite to the managerial level in the companies where they get paid for being involved in the community at the same time. I also think, because like Mr. Segoviano says, the cost of living, I think you have to help the young people along. They have more mortgages. They have more payments than maybe the more senior citizen here does. And I'd like to see the young people get involved. I think salary is definitely a competitive edge that we need to keep.
Other questions, comments, or discussion? Member Gordon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm referring to what Member Segoviano mentioned just a bit earlier. The board used to be compensated on a per diem basis. I understood that part of the reason for going to a salary basis was exactly what Member Segoviano said. I also understood, however, that there was an interest in making an effort toward creating a more professionalized county board. In other words, salaried members rather than per diem members. And a 2.5% increase isn't nothing, and it is obviously hard times, economic times for a lot of our constituents. But I think consistent with the design of the way the change was made some years ago from per diem, and also referring to what Member Casely said as far as avoiding a big jump, that a 2.5% raise is reasonable, and it cannot take effect for 10 of us, those of us who are up for re-election in the year 2008, it can't take effect until after the election, so that our constituents would have a chance to respond to an incremental raise. As small as it is still a raise, but it, by law, it can't take effect until the next term, during which time 10 seats are up for re-election.
Member Baggett.
Yes, I just wanted to say, too, that I am concerned about the issue of discouraging people who might want to run for these positions out there, and that there can be a filtering process involved there, too, where if you limit the office to people of only of a certain economic class, you know, and they become a political class, and you should have broader representation.
Member Selzer.
Just as a point, maybe Mr. Lindberg had shared with us in our Finance Committee meeting, and what are we talking about the total dollars? I mean, we talked 2.5%, but the total dollars this raise equates to?
$2,500.
A year for all of us in total. Okay, thank you.
Other questions, comments, or discussion? Member Harding.
Yes, I am going to vote in favor of this, and I will tell you that when I accepted the vacancy that Susie Johnson left, I didn't even know this was a paid position. I didn't know it. I mean, when I got the first check, I thought, what is this? And I talked to Selzer about this. We get paid for this? But I have to say to you that the $4,000 or whatever that we make a year if we don't take a raise, I think it sort of dismisses our value here. We are employed. We have, we are expected to come to these meetings prepared. We are expected to attend a meeting if it lasts 17 minutes or, like this one, 17 hours. I think not accepting a pay raise sort of dismisses the value and also dismisses what we should be expected to do and be prepared to do when we come to a meeting.
Thank you. Other questions, comments, or discussion? None heard. We'll call the question. I'm assuming somebody wants a roll call.
Roll call, please.
I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Selzer?
Yes.
Sweeney is absent. Ahart?
Yes.
Baggett?
Yes.
Bostic?
No.
Butler?
Yes.
Kaisley?
Yes.
Cavallini?
Yes.
Clark?
Yes.
Dean?
Yes.
Gordon?
Yes.
Harding? Hasselton?
No.
Moss? Knuckles?
No.
Owens?
No.
Rakowskis?
Yes.
Renner?
No.
Segabiano?
Yes.
Yep. Passes 13-5.
Okay, the next item we bring is a request for approval of an ordinance setting fees to be charged in the McLean County Clerk's Office for marriage licenses, and this is an increase, but it's based on a state law that recently has been requires us to pay additional monies to the state, and I would move it.
A motion, Selzer, second, Cavallini. Questions, comments, or discussion? None heard. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Mr. Chairman, at this time, I'd like to move that we go into executive session to request approval of a resolution of the McLean County Board authorizing the county recorded offer salary above the maximum salary, and I would move that.
I appreciate the comment. At the same time, I'll say that if there is no discussion, there's no need to. Is there a discussion on the topic? Okay, then we've got a motion to go into executive session, seconded Segobiano. All those in favor of having the McLean County Board go into executive session for the purpose of discussing personnel matters in the recorder's office, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Who's allowed in the room?
It is